Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and season ticket holders of your Chicago Bears. I'm Jeff Joniak, the play-by-play voice of the Bears, and coming up here at 7 o'clock, you'll be joined by the head coach, Mark Trestman, here on the first day of camp. No practice, but it's reporting day, and I've been telling everybody Happy New Year, because that's what it feels like. It's a new year, and for football people and football fans, it's been a big countdown, and very excited for it. We're going to take your phone calls, obviously, and if you joined us in the past, you know the process, but I'll remind you that it's as simple as hitting *3 on your telephone keypad. We have representatives from the ticket office team ready to put you right into a line and in queue to ask Coach Trestman a question directly. In the meantime, we're joined by senior web writer for ChicagoBears.com, Larry Mayer, who's been a part of the Bears organization for many years. And earlier today, Larry, upon arrival here at camp and the players trickling in at 2 p.m., we heard a combined news conference with general manager Phil Emery and the head coach Mark Trestman, about 40 minutes, certainly very detailed about what the plan is moving forward for the franchise, how camp is going to look, and the excitement that you feel listening to Mark Trestman in his first NFL head coaching job. What was your takeaway on everything?
Well, I think it's very exciting, especially listening to Mark talk about offense. I know a lot of people here have been used to defense and defensive-minded head coaches. This is the first year, really, in our generation, Jeff, that, and I put that lightly with our generation, but where we've had
you're in your 70s.
Where we've had an offensive-minded head coach, and I think a lot of people are excited about that and the possibilities and the potential, and not only that, but the fact that the Bears probably have the best quarterback or maybe the second-best quarterback in franchise history behind Sid Luckman, and also a lot of weapons now on offense with Matt Forte, who I think is going to have a great year. Obviously, you have Brandon Marshall. You bring in Martellus Bennett to play tight end. Alshon Jeffrey's another year in the system here, so it's going to be really exciting, and I'm really interested to see what this team's going to do this year, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
And you've had the unique ability to be working from the inside of Hallis Hall, and it is under construction, and fans, it's going to be spectacular. And if you're going to ever have an opportunity to go to Hallis Hall and check it out, I think you'll be quite pleased. It is not quite finished, but you also had an opportunity to meet the entire coaching staff. You did stories leading up to the start of training camp with all the coaches, came away with some very interesting nuggets, as we like to say. What's your impression of the coaching staff?
Well, I'm really impressed with the coaches, especially looking at the coordinators. You've got guys that have been in the league for a long time, and they've all been successful. You look at Joe DeCamillis on special teams. Mel Tucker's a guy who's had success in the league on defense. And Aaron Cromer's a guy that everybody says very good things about. He had great success in New Orleans, taking some guys that weren't high draft picks, molding a bunch of them into Pro Bowlers. As a matter of fact, Jeff, he had all five guys on his line, each position, make the Pro Bowl one time or another, including Jermon Bushrod, who's here with him with the Bears. So very excited about that and excited to see how the new coaches take shape here in 2013.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, please hit *3 on your telephone keypad. That'll put you in line to ask a live question at some point during our conference call tonight. We'll be with you approximately 30 minutes with the head coach, Mark Trestman. He'll be here in just moments. And our representatives will send you right back into the call so you don't miss the action. And be listening for me to call your name and your city where you're from. And at that point, you'll be live on the phone with Coach Trestman and myself. And we really appreciate you taking the time here on this weeknight, a summer weeknight, and a beautiful night it is to spend with us to talk a little bit Bears football. You certainly have a lot of friends in and out of the organization, and some of the questions that have come up over the course of the last 6 months, many of them involve Jay Cutler, obviously. So I'm certain that's been your major talking point throughout this offseason.
Well, absolutely. It's been two things, really. It's Brian Urlacher's situation, everybody talking about that, and the team moving on and really going with a bunch of new linebackers. You're talking about veterans and also two of the draft picks. And also, you're right, Jay Cutler, how is he going to perform? This is his fourth different offense in 5 years, Jeff. How is he going to perform in this system? He's a smart guy. Mark Trestman is known as someone that's molded quarterbacks. If you look at what he did with Rich Gannon, you look at a lot of different players. He's had success with Steve Young. Even in Arizona, had a great time out there with Jake Plummer, Scott Mitchell. The list goes on and on. I actually spoke to Mark's quarterback in Montreal and was very impressed with what he had to say, talking about how Mark changes the game plan so much from week to week depending on the opponent that's coming up and how the quarterback is going to really have to study. And I think that's going to go well with Jay, because Jay is a student of the game who's always known as someone that's smart and intellectual and can really process information on the field. So I'm really going to be interested to see how that works, starting a training camp. And I think one thing that fans are going to look at is how fast the offense is in training camp and the high tempo.
High tempo. We're excited to see all of you here in Bourbonnais for training camp this year. There are five season ticket holder advantage days when your ticket services team will be down here at camp to answer any questions or just to say hello this Friday, July 26th, August 2nd, August 6th, 11th, and 13th. And season ticket holders, as part of the season ticket advantage, you'll have an exclusive pre-sale opportunity for the Bears' first ever kickoff concert to be held on Thursday, September 5th at the Aragon Ballroom, certainly a legendary ballroom in Chicago. More information to come. All right, we want to thank our senior web writer for ChicagoBears.com, Larry Mayer, for jumping in to talk a little Bears football. Again, Happy New Year.
Same to you, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
And coming up, the head coach of the Bears, Mark Trestman. And we will begin that as we speak, as they jump out of chairs here. And we fully encourage all of our season ticket holders out there to contribute to this special event tonight. It is your opportunity to ask questions directly to Coach Trestman, and we'll break down everything that's transpired so far this offseason. And it's been a lot. We won't have time for just 30 minutes, that's for sure, as well as preparing for training camp, what it might look like on a normal practice day here in Bourbonnais, the upcoming season, and we're going to do our best tonight to give as many of you as possible a chance to ask Mark a question. Again, simple as hitting *3 on your telephone keypad, and we have representatives from our ticket services team ready right now to put you in line to ask Coach a question directly. At any point throughout the call this evening, hit *3 on your telephone keypad, and then you will be live. Again, you will not, after the phone call, be hung up on. You'll be able to be put right back into the conversation, so you won't miss anything, and you'll be listening to Coach and myself. And it's really that simple. So let's not waste any time, and let's get started on the show. Again, *3, and your chance to talk to Coach Trestman, *3 at any time, and our ticket services team will take your question and put you in line, send you right back to the call. Good evening. Mark Trestman, your first NFL training camp, I believe, since 2004, and you are running the Chicago Bears. You know, it's a pinch-yourself kind of moment, isn't it? When you got here, I'm not certain, you probably here a couple of days ago, or did you just arrive today?
I got here a couple of days ago. A
couple of days ago, so you're walking the campus, the players aren't here yet, your staff's probably trickling in. What's going through your mind?
I think the first thing I thought of was my dad taking me to a Viking practice back in the middle 60s, actually. And I remember walking out of the campus by the locker room. We got there early. I made my dad get me there early. I was 10 or 11 years old. And we ran into Ron Yeary, who is a Hall of Famer, obviously, today. And it's a moment that I've never forgotten, as if it was yesterday. And now I get the opportunity to see the other side of it in a different way, knowing that people are going to bring their children to our camp. And those parents who are bringing those kids to our camp, those kids are never going to forget it. It's going to be one of the great moments in their lives. I think that's the first thing I thought about. And then obviously segueing into being the head coach of the Chicago Bears and, you know, growing up and really, really getting to see 50 years of football. I mean, that's the beauty of having this job is I'm able to look back and remember from the time I watched the Bears play in the mid-60s, literally, and can remember those days and those moments at Soldier Field when I watch on television, you know, in my room, and when I went to Metropolitan Stadium to watch him play. So I'm grateful that this opportunity has come at this time in my life on a personal level, and certainly appreciative to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears.
And, you know, from knowing you in the short time that I've had a chance to, it's in your blood. The game is in your blood. And Bears fans and football fans throughout the Midwest, season ticket holders, it's in your blood too. So, you know, you got to have it in your blood to really appreciate what is in store for your team, each coach, each fan, each moment, right?
Yeah, we're just, you know, as I said to the media today, you know, we're very blessed as coaches and myself to have walked into the locker room with the type of people and men that we have. We've got guys who are clearly very cooperative and have been extremely hardworking and humble throughout this transition in terms of giving this process a chance. And we know we don't have to do a lot of major overhaul or major surgery to this football team. This is a good football team coming in, and we're just going to try to continue to work the guys and continue to build our football team from inside out in all three phases, not just offensively, but growing in all three phases to try to put – the most passionate and relentless football team out there that we can possibly put out there starting in September.
Before we take our first phone call, you made a mention today that training camp practices in the early stages will reflect what they were like when the media had an opportunity to watch the mini camps, the OTAs. For the fans coming here on Friday for the first time to see the Chicago Bears of 2013, what will they be seeing at 9 o'clock in the morning when they arrive?
Well, they'll start out by seeing a walkthrough, which will be about for 30 minutes. So it'll give the appearance of, you know, it'll be a quiet morning to start out. Guys will start out with center quarterback exchange. We'll get into some walkthrough. We'll stretch. We'll get into an individual period for 7 and 8 minutes, and all of a sudden there'll be a break in the action, and we'll be bursting into a 5 or 6 play, a ones versus one team period right in the middle of individual. And that's to get motors running and get guys going, competing and focusing, and then that'll transition into back into individual. And once the individual period is over, everything will be team-oriented. And what the people will see Friday and Saturday will be helmets, no pads, and we're structured by the CBA, so we can't have collisions, we can't have bump and run coverage, we can't literally hit. So when we're throwing the football in practice, the tempo is controlled by the defensive line. They can't rush the passer and collision into the bodies of the offensive players. And when we're running the football, the offensive line's tempo has to control. But what they will see is a full speed practice. Everybody will be running. Everybody will be flying to the ball. It'll be a fast-looking practice, even though we don't have pads on. And they'll go to the whistle, and they'll see intermittent periods of 10 to 12 plays because of the numbers. We have 90 guys. We'll have more plays in each period than we normally would. But it'll be 3 shots with the first, and then it'll be a transition with the seconds, a transition to the thirds, back to the first. But it'll be fast-paced, and then once they get there on Sunday, they'll see a whole different model. It'll be the same speed of practice, the same types of team periods, but there'll be collisions because it'll be a full padded practice. But we're going to keep everybody off the ground. Our number one job is to keep them safe. These are professionals. I mean, their bodies will be in the right position to tackle and fundamentally tackle, but we're going to avoid the type of collisions that would put people to the ground, that would create a possibility of losing a player. My number one job as a head coach is to keep them safe and get them ready, not get them ready and keep them safe. So number one is to try to keep them safe, and everything we do in practice is designed to get the most out of them, but at the same time, keep them healthy.
And the getting ready is something I'm going to come back to with Mark in just a minute, because times are different in the National Football League, and being a new staff as well, there just isn't a lot of time, and we'll touch on that. All right, we're ready for your phone calls and conversation with Coach Mark Trestman. Again, *3 on your telephone keypad to jump on in. We're going to start out in Pennsylvania. Lance is kind enough to join us, and he is going to jump on and say good evening to Mark Trestman. Lance, good evening.
Good evening, Coach. Welcome. We're so happy to have you. I'm thrilled to be a season ticket holder from out here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I guess my question for you is two parts. First, what are you going to do to preserve our outstanding defense? And second, what can we look forward to in changes in the offense?
Well, first of all, thanks for the call, Lance, and for participating in tonight's event all the way in Pennsylvania. I guess number one is, you asked, is how are we going to continue to play at the high level on the defensive side of the ball, correct? And so with that in mind, number one is I think the hiring of Mel Tucker as our defensive coordinator has really helped us, because Mel's style of football is similar, very similar to the style of the players and the structure of our defense over the last 9 years. And that wasn't a prerequisite. It was just good fortune that it came up that way. We were able to maintain John Hoke and Mike Fair in the defense. And we've got a strong leadership base there as well. They know the defense and have a great deal of pride in it. So, you know, what I'm seeing as our defense unfolds is, you know, the same style of play that this team has played. We've done a good job, Phil and the scouting and personnel department done a good job of reloading and bringing some free agents to help. And we've got some younger players who, you know, in the defense, the back end and so forth, that, you know, we look that are they're going to continue to ascend. So we're very excited about what we've got going, and we don't see any reason why we should the play should diminish defensively at all. You know, I think offensively, the first thing again is when it comes to Godot, to your question on offense and what's going to be new. I mean, I think the biggest thing that's new is we've turned over our team, particularly our offensive line room. And with the additions of Matt Slauson and Jamon Bushrod and Kyle Long and Jordan Mills and another year with Jamarcus Webb and James Brown is performed very, very well and continues to ascend along with Garza. You know, we feel very strongly that, you know, we're going to be able to do a very good job of taking care of Jay and letting him again get better in terms of having the comfort level with the offense and with throwing the football. You know, we've got a tremendous two-way player in Matt Forte as a running back, and we've got a solid core behind him. And a second year with Alshon Jeffries, and what we've seen over the course of the spring tells us that, you know, that's going to be an upgrade from this year, from last year to this year in his second year. So, you know, personnel is the one thing that helps you grow as an offense. And, you know, we're just going to try to put an offense together that allows these guys to be the best they can be. And we're not reinventing football here offensively. We're not going to do that. And I don't think our fans should feel that way. We're just going to try to put a strong football team out that has the comfort level to be able to run it or throw it, you know, when we want to do it, and distribute the ball in such a way that everybody can be part of our success.
All right, thank you very much, Lance. Again, *3 on your keypad to submit a question. We've got a lot of callers lined up, so let's try and rip through them. Let's go to Glenn Ellen. Mike, good evening.
Hey, good evening. Thank you for taking
my call. Hey, Mike, how are you tonight?
I'm great. I'm very excited, as a matter of fact, for the season to get going. I'm glad that Mark's in town. Actually, my question is kind of simple. I know he's coached in the NFL, and obviously he's a head coach in Canada. My question really is the difference between head coaching in Canada and the NFL.
Oh, you know, I think I'm a good guy to ask that question because I spent 17 years or 18 years in the NFL as an assistant coach, so I have a good feel for what an NFL locker room is like. Our locker room in Canada was exactly the same as our locker room in all the NFL teams that I coached in. We had guys who loved football. It was important to them. They trained hard. They worked hard, and they worked to be the best they could be. Obviously, the level of play in Canada is not to the level in the NFL, but the type of guy that you're coaching was exactly the same. So the things that you did as a leader in Canada would be no different than what you're going to do in the NFL. The biggest difference, quite frankly, was the last 3 minutes of the game. In Canada, the clock stops on every play. So that managing a game at the end of a half and at the end of a game is completely different. And it costs us games early on in Canada because I would play the last 2 minutes like you would the last 4 minutes with a lead. It cost me and cost our team in the first year. So that's really the biggest difference. There's an extra guy. There's one less down. But it's still football. But in terms of the players and the guys you're coaching from a head coaching standpoint, to me it's exactly the same.
Play calling. I've been in this game for 17 years, and it always comes down to this. They always call it an art. Do you think it's an art?
I don't know. I think that takes away from the players. I think that if you give players sound plays with good answers. I think most of the time they do a lot with that. I think that certainly there's work that goes into making the calls, and there is some feel to it, and there's some, you know, putting a passing game together and a game plan. It is sort of like painting a picture, it's sort of like an art form in itself, putting it all together and distributing the ball and making sure that you've tied all these things together with protection or run game angles or whatever it might be. But I think it mostly goes back to if the players can execute the plays as you've coached them to do that, you can get away with calling pretty much anything and they'll find a way to get it done. So I don't want to put too much emphasis on it, but it's certainly part of the the whole process.
All right, Jim in Addison joins the conversation. Again, star 3 on your keypad, folks. Good evening, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hi, Coach. I'm really glad that you're going to be calling the offensive signals, because I think it's been a few years since we've had somebody that can really do the job. And
well, I'm excited about calling the plays for the guys that are going to be running them. I can tell you that they've worked very hard. They've been extremely cooperative, and I know they're excited to get going here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, this year is going to be real. I mean, this is my 60th year for season tickets. And
did you say 60?
60.
You sound like a young man.
He sure does.
You sound like a 30-year-old.
He sure does.
My dad started taking me when I was 10.
Well, God bless you. Thank you.
Yeah, I've seen them all. Anyway, my question, Coach, is Lance Briggs going to be calling the defensive signals?
Yeah, he has jumped up and wants to do it, and is spending a lot of time with Mel Tucker to be able to get that done. He's really, as our fans know more than I do, because I haven't been around him as much, as a very prideful man, an elite professional in all facets, and I think he's really excited about doing it.
And he approached you guys, right?
He did. He came to Mel and to us and said he wanted to take on that responsibility. And that's not an easy thing to do, to transition in that fashion. And he stepped up and is looking forward to the opportunity.
And you made mention of this at the news conference this afternoon with general manager Phil Emery, and made special mention, as he did, about the leadership throughout the team. And your answer or statement, I should say, to one of the to that topic really resonated with me, is that, yeah, you could have a big-name guy be the leader, and the quarterback always has to be that leader, and it has to own the room and own the field, but there is all kinds of definition of leadership.
No, that's right. I mean, we have guys that the players will go to talk to me about something, but that doesn't mean they're not leading each and every day, and we've got a number of guys that if I mention one or two, I'm going to leave out some, so I don't usually do that. But number of years in the league, young, and we got 20-somethings, we got 30-somethings, we've got guys from all different levels of experience that are leading in a lot of different ways. Some of them do it vocally, but most of them are doing it by their actions on and off the field, in the locker room, and outside. You know, they're doing the right things and showing all of us the way, and I think that's a really cool thing.
And even for a guy like Kyle Long, who has not been around the organization much due to NFL rules, but I know Phil Emery was talking about the fact that during the rookie minicamp, he took it upon himself to have the offensive lineman sit in the first rows.
Yep.
I mean, that's may not sound like a big deal to the average person. It is a big deal.
Right.
And tell us why from his perspective and then your perspective.
Well, I just think that, you know, he wants to, I mean, he's taking the approach of what we want the Chicago Bears to continue to be: humble, hardworking guys who play passionately on Sunday, you know, and they show their love for the game on Sunday, but during the course of the week, they know it's going to be, we got to go to work, and we got to get things done, and we got to do it the right way, and that's something that I think is really part of making this work.
All right, callers, again, star 3 on your keypad, and we really appreciate you hanging in there tonight to talk to Coach Trestman. A couple of things we want to throw in here. If you've been on the call before, we ask you these polling questions, and I have one for you right now. The RC Cola training camp is free, open to the public here at Olivet Nazarene University in Bourbonnais. What phase of the Bears are you most excited to take the field? You can press 1 for offense, press 2 for defense, and press 3 for special teams. That'll help out our staff with some different things we're looking at here. And that leads us into a special teams question in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And Dean, you're on with Coach Trestman.
Hey, Dean.
Yes, Coach, I'm curious what your philosophy is in putting the special teams together. If a person, you know, is not a starter who's in special teams, but he's a backup, how important is it for that person to be a quality backup, to have a position to play, to contribute to the team in case one of the starters goes down?
I had a hard time following the question, Dean. I really think I need to have you repeat it. I must have missed something along the way. Give it to me one more time.
In regards to the special teams,
yes.
The people who are playing special teams, if they're not a starter on the offense or defense, how is it important is it for that person to be at least a quality backup, so in case the starter goes down, they'll be able to step right in?
Well, it's absolutely the case. It's absolutely the case that certainly everybody in a backup role, in fact, just to take it one step back for a minute, you know, we expect our starters to take on one core team of the major special teams areas. But certainly part of the dynamic of being a backup is you have to be a special teams player. But just as you said, you also have to be somebody that can step into and play for a starter if a starter goes down. And, you know, that's what training camp's all about, is creating value in yourself by saying, I'm not a starter, but I can be on two or three or even four core special teams. But if, heaven forbid, one of our starters goes down, the coaches are going to feel great about you having the opportunity now to move forward in your career and move into a starting role and not lose, you know, what we've got with that first team player.
All right. Thank you very much, Dean. Let's go to Claypool, Indiana. And J.R.
J.R., how are you?
J.R., are you there?
I'm here. How are you today?
Okay. We had you on speaker, didn't we?
You did. I was trying to get...
Fire away, JR. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Welcome, Coach. Welcome to Chicago. We needed a change. So welcome to Chicago. And over the last 9-10 years, Chicago is a blue-collar city. And we're used to... We like emotion. We haven't had that in a while. You're going to be a emotional, go get them kind of guy on the sideline, or we're just going to see the what we've seen in the last few years?
Well, I don't know what, you know, I can't speak for that. You know, when I'm on the sideline, there's a job to do, and I think my demeanor is pretty consistent, you know, throughout the game because there's work to do. And, you know, my feeling is if I lose my mind and go in certain directions, our team is going to lose their mind. So I think that teams look to their head coach to, you know, deal with adversity and success throughout a game the way he's most comfortable. And I can't speak for any other coaches. Now, if you go to the practice field, that's a whole different element, you know. And so I think that, you know, what you're going to see is somebody who's, you know, leading in a fashion that, you know, when things are great, it's handled properly, and when things aren't going well. And because adversity is going to be inevitable along the way, so things are going to happen. And I think how you handle them, how your team sees it handled, is important. I just think you got to be yourself. Every head coach has got to be themselves, and we'll just see how that goes.
And if not, players aren't going to buy in. Simple as that, right?
That's exactly
and,
right.
And you burn some calories on the practice field now. This man runs around. He loves the game. I can tell you that. LaGrange, Mark, good evening.
Hey, Mark.
Chicago. With the new offense being installed and fewer practices available, what do you do to get your new offense installed and to be effective quicker as the season goes on?
Well, what we basically, and it's a great question, Mark, is, you know, what we do is we've given the players a lot over the spring. I mean, we've overindulged them in football and stimulate them with a lot of different things. And we're going to continue to do that because it's a long season and we're still trying to define who we are and what we can do best. And we'll continue to do that in training camp. And then we'll see a little bit more about what we're all about, and we'll start winding down and kind of controlling what we do to gear ourselves towards the beginning of the season and make sure we're doing the things we can do best well, you know. And so that's the process. And the good fortune is as you look at these guys from afar, I can tell you they are extremely highly football intelligent guys. They are able to handle a lot of information, a lot of plays, a lot of formations, and process it and put it out there on a daily basis. That's exciting when you're putting an offense together. But at the end of the day, you're correct. We don't have a lot of time, and we've got to make sure that we're not just, we don't want to be good at a lot of things. We want to be great at the right things. So, you know, that's the process that we're going through.
And I meant to bring this back up. So, Mark, thank you for that point. I was going to circle back because once upon a time you had two-a-day practices and you had longer off seasons with the players, to, and especially at the quarterback position,
right,
which is critical. Mm-hmm. So that's an adjustment. That is an adjust and overcome situation for a head coach and a new staff.
Yeah, we try to really think it through. I mean, I'm going to show a chart tomorrow to the guys that, you know, just a few years back there were 50 practices before you broke camp, and now there's about 17. That's the difference. And there's no two-a-days, there's no padded up two-a-days, and, you know, people would scrimmage during those times, and players were broken down both physically and mentally. Now it goes almost in the opposite direction. We've got a short time to do a lot, and so we've got to be meticulous how we give these guys information so they can process it, internalize it, and then play at full speed.
So do you have to run a package of plays in practice every day, whether it be offense or defense, things that get done? They have to get done.
They have to
they
get done.
They absolutely have
sure,
to.
Sure, I mean, how can we hold players accountable? I mean, the process is, how can you hold a player accountable if you don't install it in a meeting, walk through it on the practice field, run through it against air, and then practice against a defense, and then coach it up that night? I mean, if you have to give that progression teaching a chance to hold a player accountable for doing his job. You can't just say, well, we got 25 plays and we can only practice 20 and you're responsible for learning five. You know, that's just taking the coaches off the hook, and we can't do that. We have to be accountable to take them through this process so they can take ownership of it on the field.
And given the day, the way it's structured, however you may have it structured, say you have a practice where things aren't going well and there's repetitive mistakes, mental errors, do you keep rerunning those plays?
We got to move on. We got to move on because we've got to get everything done and taught. But at the end of the day, we'll revisit those plays. If we want to keep them in, we'll revisit those plays to make sure we get them right.
All right, our first Jay Cutler question. I thought it would be like 10 right here, because that's all, Mark.
Who?
You know this from hanging around Chicago so far.
Yeah.
Every conversation with the Bears automatically begins the relationship
right
between you and Jay Cutler, and I think that's where Kevin wants to go. Kevin, you're from Chicago. Good evening, and welcome.
Hey, Kevin.
Hi, I'm calling on behalf of my kids, Reed and Sherry, but we're curious to hear your if you set any goals, personal performance goals for Jay Cutler this year.
I have not. I have not myself. I have a mindset for how I would like to see Jay. I would like him to see him become an efficient quarterback who understands he's got a lot of tools around him to work with, to understand that we'll provide him with protection, hopefully, that will put him in a position to efficiently drop back and throw the football and move the chains. And finally, and most importantly, that he's a guy who makes very good decisions with the football, takes care of the football, and puts his team in a position to win. If we do that at a bare minimum, we're going to have a very, very good football team. Now, I think Jay Cutler's better than that. I think he's one of the more explosive players on our football team who can make explosive plays. So I'm hoping and I believe that'll happen, but at a minimum level, my goal would be that he plays efficiently through the course of the game, takes care of the football, and moves the football team. And how we score really doesn't matter. Do I think he can do more than that? Absolutely. I think the sky's the limit for Jay, and so I would like to see that. And on the other side of it, I'm looking forward to how he handles himself, not just with the success that we're going to have, but during, you know, what I always call the inevitability of adversity. You know, how will he handle himself? What kind of picture is he going to paint of our football, of his relationship with me, our football team, quite honestly, during the course of a game? And I think that's exciting to me to see how that all unfolds.
And as a teacher, as much time as you invested in football, you know a thing or two about adversity as well as success. So is there something profound you can speak on adversity? Because, as you say, it is inevitable. Something's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's what we teach. That's why we compete in practice, because in every place somebody's going to lose that play. Well, we're going to lose. I mean, there's going to be times we're going to lose plays or quarters or games, and how we respond. And the only way to do that is embrace it, you know, is to continue confidently pressing on. This season's a long journey. Things are going to happen along the way that, you know, we're going to have to accept. We're going to have to make sure we keep our humility when we have success and recognize that the people around us are the reason why we've had that success, and we do have adversity, we can't fight it. We've got to move forward and be professional and continue to stay the course. So I'm excited about all of that.
One more polling question for you tonight. You can see the Bears at Soldier Field on Saturday, August 3rd for Comcast Bears Family Fest, presented by Chase. And besides seeing the Bears practice on the field, what activities are you most excited about? Press 1 for the fireworks show after practice. Press 2 for Staley's 10th birthday. I know I'm getting old if it's his 10th birthday. And press 3 for outside festivities, including a pre-practice concert. Before we sign off tonight, I'd like to remind you to please stay on the line for a few additional seconds, as you will be given an opportunity to leave a message with your feedback and comments regarding tonight's event. And we thank you for your continued loyalty and unwavering support as Chicago Bears season ticket holders. Let's get in 3 more questions. And again, you've been patient. Sadly, we can't get to everybody, but we do appreciate your time and look forward to seeing you out and about around Bears activity, certainly a training camp. And a very anticipated training camp. You're going to have to get here early, though. Mark is an early riser. He wants to get his feet on the ground and get things done. And certainly at Soldier Field on those great Sundays during the football season. Gerald, I don't know what town this is or where it is, but I'm going to take a crack at it. Erroville?
Earlville.
Earl, where is that? What state?
It's Illinois, about 65 miles southwest of Chicago.
All right, very good. You're a suburbanite then, basically.
Well, kind of.
Gerald, how are you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Well, my question is, with the addition of Marcellus Bennett, can we expect to see more passing plays to the tight end, especially with his mismatches and open up avenues for other people or in goal line scenarios?
That's an easy one, yes. You're really going to enjoy Martellus. He is one of the hardest working players on our football team. He has already proven to be, you know, going into the fall here, a guy who can be a team leader for us. He does it by example, and he's a fun guy to be around, extremely smart. So, yes, we feel strongly that he's going to be highly effective, 3-down player, blocking at the point, running routes in all areas of the field, in the line of scrimmage area and outside. And I think he's going to be an exciting guy to watch.
Outstanding blocker, too, right?
Absolutely.
And he's big without pads. I have yet to see him. So he's a big man.
He's a big man. He's an outgoing guy who is a team-first guy, and really, we're all very appreciative of Phil for bringing him in.
To Barrington and Susan and the offensive line and how it protects the quarterback is a huge staple of your philosophy.
Hey, Susan.
Head coach. Susan,
how are you doing tonight?
Hi, thank you. Yes, I'm doing great. Thank you. Looking forward to the Bears season, and welcome to Chicago.
Thank you, Susan.
And, Jeff, I have to say that when the Bears play away, I turn off the television sound and listen to you both. You are the best.
Thank you very much. Humbled by that, and we appreciate the listen. I'll tell
Tom.
Thank
you. Okay, my question is, the offensive line that we have presently, are they going to be able to protect Jay in a way that he has not been protected in the past?
I would have to say yes, Susan. Up from the tape I've looked at over the last 3 or 4 years, I would hope that with the job, again, that Phil Emery has done, bringing in Matt Slauson, bringing in Bushrod, the feeling that we have towards Roberto Garza and the job that we think he can do, the competition that's going to be at the guard position with James Brown and Kyle and Jamarcus, amongst others, at the right tackle position. Plus, structurally, we hope to do everything we can to help him as well. We should see a lot better protection. We have to. And that is the number one priority coming into camp is making sure that Jay feels secure enough to be able to drop back and deliver the football.
And let's go to Skokie, and Nathan is our last caller tonight. So, Nathan, you got to make it real good with Coach Trestman. How are you?
Hey, Nathan.
Hi.
What's up, buddy?
Nothing. I was just wanting to ask, Coach, if you were playing football, what position would you like to play and why?
I would like to play quarterback.
Which he was. So give the young man a little snapshot of your playing career.
Well, I didn't have one.
That's not true.
That's the matchbook edition right there.
That's not true, Coach.
The reason why, Nathan, is because, I mean, really the quarterback position is the greatest athletic position in all of sports because you have to be good at everything to play it, particularly when you get to the highest level. You got to be able to get along well with people. You got to be smart. You got to have great agility. You got to be able to see things. Have great depth perception. You got to be tough and courageous, and you got to be selfless to be good at it. So it encompasses everything that anybody would have to do playing athletics, and it's the central aspect of the game of football, and that's why that's the position I would want to play.
And Nathan, he definitely played the position. So, and he was also a defensive back as well. So that's the quarterback on the back end of the defense looking things over.
Thanks for the call, Nathan.
We appreciate it, Nathan. We appreciate everybody tonight. That's going to wrap us up. Mark, from everybody and all the Bears fans out there and the season ticket holders, we wish you great success on the football team. Great success. And the emphasis is on that team. It's a message you made very clear and how you expect them to treat each other, the coaches, from you to them as well. I believe the words you use are dignity and respect. And it's really coming through in the short time that we've seen everybody together. We can't wait to see training camp.
Yeah, we're excited.
Good luck.
We look forward to seeing everybody out there.
And, folks, again, we want to thank you for your continued loyalty and unwavering support as season ticket holders. You know you're valued. No question about it, every one of you, and we truly couldn't do it without you. So, for Mark Trestman and all of our behind-the-scenes helpers tonight from the season ticket, from the ticket office, and Scott Hagel, we're using his office. We'd like to say thank you, and we'll see you at Soldier Field. Thank you. Good night. And as always say, go Bears!